And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello, everybody. Good day. It is, boy, we are getting on in August, aren't we? Almost through August here. It's been really hot and dry in Northern California. Unfortunately, the weather war hasn't stopped up here. I've been talking with my friends in the UK and Scotland, and apparently they're having like really a lot of water over there, lots of flooding and just abnormal amounts of water. And I bet their gardens are not able to grow, just like gardens, you know, here are being thwarted for the lack of water. So one of the things about being alive in this time is that we are able to sort of take advantage of the wisdom that all of us have. This is your host, Yolinsley, on Bridget's Well at Revolution Radio. It's really nice to be here. I want to thank everybody who's helped to set this station up and sort of pave the road for those of us newbies who've been getting on here doing shows. And I want to put out a prayer of safety and awakened joy for all of us who have come together in a good way to share wisdom, to share our hopes for the future, and ways of skillful reconciliation of what is appearing to be complete crazy times in the world. So that's my prayer for today for all of us, that we walk in beauty, walk in peace as much as we can, and to reach out to each other when we need help, because I know I need it. Like, who was that poet that said, we're not an island unto our own? We do need each other. And so it's really nice to have these kinds of stations, these kind of programs, where we can come together and talk about our experiences of what's going on. And it is a very intense time to be alive. And part of my what I like to do with my show is to look at, hey, Eagle Flower, thank you, is to look at, you know, the smokescreen effect of what's really going on. Because in my view, this whole COVID thing is like a big, huge smokescreen to get us to not look at the things that are important right now that are going on the planet. So I'm just going to read my bio. If you go to the schedule and you can look up on Sunday at 2 p.m., that's when my show is, Bridget's Well, Healing with the Elements of Life. So I'm just going to start by reading what I wrote, what this show is going to be about, hopefully over a full year at least, hopefully more. But anyhow, so I'll be sharing stories about traditional foods, Chinese medicine, and simple, healthy living skills. Food is how we physically and spiritually nourish ourselves, and simple changes can help us heal and stay strong for the transition times we are going through. I draw my information from 40-plus years of working with natural medicine, and 20 years as an acupuncturist, and over 30 years following the Good Road with Native American elders from North America, Mexico, and also elders from other places around the world, Laplanders, European elders, Japanese, Chinese, I really am enamored with learning from elders. And so anyway, that's not on my bio, but I'm going to keep reading here. Fake food has been used as a weapon against us in the guise of fad diets, factory foods. So factory foods have taken the place of healthy, natural, traditional foods that have nourished our human families through the generations. These traditional foods are alive in many of our grandmother's kitchens. And if grandma and grandpa have already passed over, together we can access our cellular memory that can serve as a guide back to health through delicious, nourishing foods and traditions of living with the seasons to stay well and strong. So many weird new diseases, dis-eases, coming from not being at ease, have been cropping up through the lack of real nourishment. Let's help each other remember all of those old wives' tales so that the so-called experts, the ones that the so-called experts like to diss, open to the love and the wisdom of the old ones who are praying for us from the other side. Think good health, good food and real medicine is too expensive? Try bad health. Want to really get to the roots of good health and stay strong for the storms ahead? We live in a holographic world. The scientists are finally catching up with the ancients in realizing this. And we can sidestep the current madness and step into vibrant health deliciously. This is our human birthright. So, I remember when I first went, so there's this organization that I'm a part of. I wonder if people can hear me. I'm going to put a little thing in there. If anybody's listening to Studio B, please write in that you can hear me. That'd be good. So I'm going to just wait for that before I go any farther because I don't see any chat in the chat room. Okay. So if somebody can just get on studio. Okay, cool. Thank you, Comet. Appreciate that. Okay, cool. My passion has always been my whole life. I've always been very interested in food. And I was born, there's kitty cat. Meow. There's meow. So glad to see you in the chat room. Yeah, it's nice to be here and support each other and the different shows that come on here. And I know Meow has done shows in the past, and she does amazing shows. I'm pretty sure she, yeah. It's really nice to be here today, you guys. I kind of left off last week. I wanted to address vitamin D because we are in the summertime. And it's really, really hot and dry and lots of really searing, feels like chemical burning that's happening to people from the sun on the West Coast. And that's most likely due to the chemical spraying that they're doing with the geoengineering, the weather manipulation. So, I'm not going to get into a lot of the politics behind that or, too much of that sort of end of it. But what I would like to look at is ways that we can sort of help protect ourselves while we go through this. And hopefully in the future, things will change and this kind of activity will stop. And we don't have to be worrying about protecting ourselves from chemicals coming from the sky. Hey, meow. Yay. One of the things that's been happening with a lot of people, I am an acupuncturist and an herbalist, and I have kept my practice open this whole time during the pandemic that's been going on here, the scamdemic. A lot of people, what I've noticed is that they have really ramped up the installation of the 5G while people were on lockdown. If you don't notice, maybe you want to look at your the electrical wires and stuff, and the little inverter boxes that are up, the tanks that are up on top of the telephone poles. They're all different now. They're really way thicker. And if you ever watched or listened to Mark Steele, he does explain how that is not about providing light for the streets. They're not real street lights. They're part of a weapon system. And they do connect in with the chemtrails and the harping, the electromagnetic manipulation of clouds and weather. And so they've been drying up the clouds here on the west coast of Turtle Island, which is North America, and ushering the moisture east of us. So whenever we go through these periods of a lot of dryness, there's usually floods east of us. And I know when I was in Ireland last year and there was tons of chemtrails there, and they were and it was very, very dry, and they were sort of starting to predict that they were going to have fires and stuff, which I don't think they did. But then there was flooding happening east of Ireland in different countries. I think it was Germany at the time. They were having a lot of flooding. And so people, you know, I'm not saying this, I really don't like talking too much about the whole conspiracy thing, even though I am a conspiracy researcher. I consider myself a researcher it's a spiritual research also. Because if we look at what's happening, it is a spiritual war. And it's also preying on our emotions. You know, like I woke up this morning and it was, it's got this weird haze because of all the fires that are going on. And I started feeling really depressed, like, oh my God, we are so out of control. There's just nothing natural going on. But I realized, and this is through a lot of the wisdom that's been shared in these kinds of radio shows, that where people are just like normal people, non-experts. Well, some of us are experts in different areas, but where just, you know, normal people have the chance to really say and talk about the wisdom that we are perceiving in the world, because, you know, we all know the mainstream sort of lines that have been the lies that have been, you know, drilled into us forever. So I just woke up and I got my smudge bowl out, which is a conch. It's a shell with dried cedar and dried sage. I light the cedar and sage, and this is what Native Americans call smudging. And so what that is it just creates smoke, and that smoke kind of helps to enter into the element of air, which is our thoughts and somewhat our emotions, because they're sort of more ethereal than on the physical level. But, you know, the thoughts and the emotions definitely affect our health as well. So sort of when there's a kind of thing that's happening in the air, so here we've got these fires, and some of the elders here have talked about how, you know, it's a form of smudging. But when they spray the chemicals on those fires and stuff, they are putting you know, their little own spin on this act of smudging to affect our health in ill ways. And so I was really perceiving that this morning. So the first thing I did was light some smudge, even though there's smoke everywhere, because I kind of have felt like I needed to combat those spells that's being put out on us and bringing people to feel depressed, because I do know a lot of people too are feeling really depressed and sort of powerless. So I lit the smudge and I just sort of smudge myself. I smudge the living room. You know, I go outside and smudge the front yard, the side yards, and the kitchen and the driveway. And then I even imagine it healing and cleansing out into the further areas around my house. So my neighborhood, my neighbors, that we have good relationships. And, you know, if there's difficult things, that we come to right relations, that we somehow, even if it's through silence, we come to a place where we can be at ease with ourselves and with one another. And so those are the kinds of prayers that we put out with the smudging in times of when we feel like we need to sort of, you know, clear the air. And we really need to clear the air here in California. It's really sad. Lots of fires going on. We didn't have any fires up where I live last year, but it's just been a, you know, they're just playing this sick game using their sick, you know, toys, directed energy weapons and stuff. And so, you know, my feelings are that we really need to develop the skill of stepping aside. Like, here we are on this trajectory. We're like on a like a roller coaster, right? And they've got all the scary shit planned for us. And excuse my French, but, you know, thinking that we're completely out of control, completely at the whims of these psychopaths who seemingly only want to harm us. So in this Native American way of thinking about things and understanding the world, and this is I think it's a Native Earth knowing. It's a Native Earth wisdom. It's not just Native American. It's, thank you, Pat. He's telling me I'm sounding good. Yay. So it's Native Earth wisdom, really. I mean, I've had the amazing fortune, great fortune, to study with lots of old people and, you know, from China, from Japan, from here, from Africa. So, you know, I could say that this is around the world. These are people who have the life of the planet and the life of the people, all peoples, including what we call the standing people, who are the trees and the bushes and plants. So they stand there, they don't move, right? And the flying people, who are the birds and the insects. And, you know, benevolent airplanes too, I guess we could say. Let's put protection around people who need to travel in the air, that we have freedom and good fortune in that way. And the swimming people, who are the fish and all the different creatures that live in the waters. So we're praying for them. And also the walking people. So would include us, you know, two-leggeds and the four-leggeds, the little crawling people. Because we're all part of this fabric of life, right? And so we all have our cycles that we go through, each and every creature that lives here. And since we are two-legged people, my show sort of, it focuses on our abilities in this time to sort of stand aside or step onto a different track of understanding or experience in this world. Because we have been railroaded for, you know, thousands of years, probably most of our families, our ancestors and stuff. And so now is a time, it's a really amazing time to be on the planet, but it's also really scary, and it can be kind of feeling really lonely. And, you know, you're walking around and you're the only person without a mask, and, you know, kind of brings, you know, I almost want to cry sometimes when I'm out. It just feels really sad that, you know, it's like things have gotten to this place. But, you know, through these kinds of shows, I just really want to appreciate all the other hosts and stuff out there on independent radio that are all joining together to kind of help each other and ourselves get through this time. So by standing aside from this railroad or this roller coaster, you know, it's like we're going to find people, find each other, other people who are not going up and freaking out and going slamming around on that roller coaster, and offering up some help or advice for the ways to kind of focus on life and focus on health. I mean, I feel like something really amazing must be happening astrologically for this smoke screen. It's so huge. They're trying to get us to not notice something big. And I'm pretty sure that left to our own devices, that humanity would be blossoming majorly right now. You know, we would be in just this amazing paradise of beauty and abundance and just, you know, joy and amazing music and everything. If we were left to our own devices, I'm quite sure that humanity, that we would be coming together in those ways, really powerful ways to build an amazing culture. But it's, you know, that those powers that are here are, they don't want that. They would starve. That would starve them out and they'd die. So the more we can get together and find our gifts, you know, if we like to paint or draw or play music, you know, healing, dancing, studying nature, those kinds of things, the more we can practice that, the more that, you know, we'll find it easier to catch ourselves when we get into these funks. Like I woke this morning feeling depressed and sad about like these fires. It's just really hard. You wake up and there's just this weird, eerie smoke. It's like a kind of rosish gray color smog all over. So, you know, what I did was to light that smudge and to get that smoke element, the air element, entering into the vibrational realm of this smoke in California. And so sending out prayers of safety and also remembering my friends in England and Ireland and Scotland, where they're having so, so much rain. So we've had conversations in the past where we'll go, okay, how about you send some rain over here and to help us put these fires out, and I'll send some sunshine over there. And you know, a few times it's actually worked. So, you know, what the heck? We might as well play around and have fun and see what we can do with our minds and our intentions. Because believe me, they have stepped onto this, you know, platform of doing, you know, the very same thing to us, but in really sinister ways. So, you know, sometimes I talk about stuff like this and people mention, oh, that sounds like witchcraft. Well, you know, I don't really like that word, witch, because I was drinking a drink of water there. Because that word was used to persecute and kill lots of people, innocent people who probably, you know, our ancestors who were trying to protect the earth and protect the life force of the people from the earth. And so I like to sidestep that, even that word, and don't focus on it too much. I mean, it is just a word, but and to focus on what we're really doing, like the science of the elements. So that's the name of my show, is Healing Through with the Elements of Life. So earth, air, fire, and water. And so right now we see that there's this fire has become a weapon, and it's been a weapon for a really long, long time, through guns and bombs and things like that. They've used explosives as weapons. And so basically fire has been taken and used as a weapon. And, let's see, I don't want to get too much in that. There was conversation earlier on one of the other shows, and I had to turn it off because it was distressing me too much, but they were talking about race. And, but so it made me think about the races and some teachings, these ancient teachings, they talk about the different races that are sort of guardians of different elements. And I'm pretty sure it's in the Hopi, the Book of the Hopi. I read that a long time ago and I can't really remember. I should go back and, I make a promise to you guys. I'm going to go back and make sure that I get these the races right for the elements. But I know for sure that the element of fire is supposed to be the white race of people, even though there's only one race, which is the human race. But that the white brothers and sisters, that they were given the responsibility of taking care of the element of fire. And in the Cherokee traditions that I studied, that I hung out with a lot of people and did lots of ceremonies with them, they were so gracious and generous with help sharing teachings with us. But in that tradition and in a lot of traditions, the men are responsible for taking care of the ceremonial fires. And so the reasoning behind that is because for the most part, just up until the last, not too long now, women can go to war, but men have been the ones who have taken the power of fire, the element, and turned it into a weapon and used it to harm life. So the teachings behind having the men being the tenders of the sacred fires, the ceremonial fires, is that men can come back to learning how to work with the element of fire in a harmonious and peaceful way. The Indians here where I live, the Karuks, and I'm pretty sure like the Yuroks and the river people here in Northern California, the women are the fire keepers. They're the fire tenders. And so I don't really know the teachings too much behind that, but I guess maybe in that culture, or you know, they're sort of the last. We're on the Pacific Northwest. It's sort of the last regions that's got dominated by this sort of power over cultures that came and were way out of balance with the use of elements, and especially fire for killing and warfare. So maybe that's why the women just stayed in their role of tending the fire. I'm not really sure, but I'll check that out too for you guys. So here we are in this time, and there's all this imbalance with the element of fire. And so I see that there's a couple people from the UK in the chat room, and maybe we can just do that. Do a little switcheroo, send some water over this way, and we'll send some nice warm sunshine over to you guys, and make a prayer out of it that we're not doing this to harm life or to manipulate or be rude or cruel or anything at all. It's we're looking to balance life, to balance the elements of life, because there does exist a natural balance of the elements in the seasons and the seasons of our lives, including infancy and childhood. And so there's a balance of the earth element and the air element. So the earth would be your physical body, the physical nature of your body and your life, your home, your garden, what you're tending in your life and what you're growing. And the air, you know, it's air is very easily contaminated with other elements being off balance too. So we've got the fire out of balance, and it's really contaminating the air. And the air element would be pertains to our thoughts, right? Our thinking. And so I know for me, when it starts to feel too much, like there's been so many times when I've been out places and I can't even go to farmers markets anymore. I went to the farmers market yesterday and I was the only one with no mask. There was one other person finally as I was leaving. We kind of like somebody was mentioning in the chat earlier about, you know, when you see someone without a mask and you kind of nod like, yay, we're here. And I don't know if maybe they just forgot their mask or something, but I'm doing it for a reason. And one time, oh God, last a couple of weeks ago, my husband put his mask on, a mask, I didn't even know he had one, in a store, and I didn't realize it. And I turned around and I just started crying. I was like, oh my God, I was the only person in that store with no mask, and it was so scary. I don't know. So I'm so grateful for these teachings that I've had from these Native elders. there was this time, speaking of air, okay, so noise and sound is also part of the air element. And so you really want to be careful of the things that you're listening to, the kinds of music, and just notice if you're feeling comfortable with the kind of talk that you're around or the kind of music that you're around. It's because it can affect your health. One time I went to this Native American gathering down in Mexico with Grandma Margarita, and oh my God, it was at El Tajín. It's in Veracruz in Mexico. It's this amazing place, but there's all these pyramids, and you know, it was before I really understood like what was really going on with the whole you know, Anunnaki stuff and the pyramids and things. But so anyway, this was at like a county fair kind of thing, but it was a huge deal. And there was this whole section of all these Native Americans, and they had sweat lodges going on and traditional healers from all different areas of Mexico and Central and South America. There was massage therapists and all these different kinds of healing modalities. And so that was kind of sectioned off. And then there was the whole rest of this big, huge, sort of like a, what do you call them, county fairs, but it was this big, like a regional fair. And they, oh my God, they had these main, like really famous singers playing there, like on the main event stage. And the music was so loud. It was like you could not even hear yourself think. And it was hard to talk to people because it was so loud. I mean, the speakers were like, I don't know, must have been 30 feet high or something. It was just outrageous. It was kind of like the feeling of it was like what's going on right now. So outrageous, like all these lies in this facade of something happening that doesn't make any sense at all. But anyway, here I was at this really amazing gathering of all these elders and these healers, and they had the voladores. I wish I could share photos on this site. I don't know how to do that yet. But anyway, there's these people, these Indians, and they are on these poles, and they attach themselves to these tethers that are wound up on the very top of the pole, and they climb up to the top, and then slowly they kind of attach themselves by the foot, one foot. I think it's just one foot. And they're upside down, and then they slowly unravel, and they swing around, upside down, sort of swinging around this pole. And there's one guy on the very top of the pole standing there and playing a flute and a drum at the same time. And it's just like this, wow, amazing thing that they do. And that's a traditional sort of thing that they do in Veracruz. I haven't done much time thinking about the significance of that based on sort of more exopolitics kind of things that are we've been uncovering. But what the native people there believe is that it's a way to integrate the frontal brain and the back of the brain. So the reptilian brain and the frontal brain. That's the only thing that I really heard about what they felt like it was the purpose of that was. But anyhow, that was going on there at that fair. But the music, it was just going on, and it was even through the night. And this was 4 days. I was there 4 days and four nights. And, you know, we'd be in the sweat lodges and be meeting these amazing people and having these amazing conversations. And it was like this music was just blasting the whole time in the background. And even though it was kind of far away, it could have even been a half a mile away or a quarter of a mile away, but still it was so intense that it was just always there. And now I'm looking back and going, wow, it was a lot like what's going on now, because it's almost like whatever we're doing, there's this overshadowing of this stupid plandemic that's the scamdemic that's trying to make us think that, you know, believe that this other reality is really the overriding dominant reality when it isn't. But after like 3 days, and Grandma Margarita, I couldn't sleep at all through the night. Like I probably slept maybe 2 hours a night, And Grandma Margarita would just like fall right asleep, and she'd sleep all the way through the morning, and she'd be like, she snored. And I woke up, and the next morning I told her, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you were snoring to the rhythm of the music. She was just cracking up so hard, so bad. But then she got serious with me, and she said, Jerry, look, you know how it is with Native American understanding is that everything is a teaching. You know, and I wasn't sleeping. I was in a bad mood. I was just like, I was just like miserable. And she goes, this is like a training for you. You know, things are going to get really, really bad, and you're going to look back on this and this is nothing, but just look at it as a training, because here you are trying to be all spiritual and go to these sweat lodges and be around all these cool people. And here's this like overriding, this energy that came on the element of air, right? And that of pushing their music in your brain at all times. And so she said, you know, this is a huge teaching for you. It's for all of us. This is what we have to learn, is how to be in places and in situations that are really very jarring and difficult, and still focus on the spiritual and focus on the balance of, you know, what we are here to do, why we found each other. So in the sweat lodges, you know, they're always talking about the balance of the elements, because they use that balance, the element of earth is what we're sitting on. Someday I'll do a whole thing about the sweat lodges, but anyway, that's a big teaching of the sweat lodge, is balancing the elements. And so, yeah, I feel really fortunate, because when I woke up this morning and feeling like this big, huge clouds of you know, their fear-mongering and, you know, shock and trauma that basically they're trying to put out onto people, first thing I did was to start smudging, right? So you fight fire with fire. The Native Americans here, actually, they still do this. They burn the forests. They use fire to protect the forests from fire. And unfortunately, when the, you know, dominant people, these people who tried to be dominant and erase the cultures of Native Americans, they stopped that practice of burning the forests. And these fires, you know, even though they are, I think that they would be different if there wasn't the directed energy weapons put in there too, because they'd be easier to put out. And now they just keep them going by starting fires close by and keeping it, you know, keeping it spreading itself. But it used to be, you know, 10, 15 years ago where the fires, they would rage, you know, but they'd eventually get contained and put out. But the Native Americans would use fire to like backfire and burn up to the fire so that it would stop it. But then all throughout the year, they would use fire to clear the brush and clear all the dead and, you know, stuff, the limbs and things that were around. And so that if there was a fire, it wouldn't get so bad. Because there's now there's all this underbrush, this under really thick forests that have not been burned. They haven't been tended. And there's these bushes here called manzanita that burn really hot and really fast. And it used to be in the old days that there was hardly any of that manzanita around, because people loved to burn it. They used it for fire, for cooking fires, because it burned real hot and fast, and it doesn't spark. And so if anybody's out in the forest and they need to make a fire and there's dry manzanita around, use that, because it does not spark. Okay, it's really safe kind of wood to burn in the wintertime. But now it's just like everything is just so overgrown that these fires, they just go, like they just rage, you know. But it's, you know, some people would look back and say it's by design. But So using that fire and the smoke to enter into that element of the fear that's around us in this smoky haze, you know, can help because it will enter onto that frequency and help to shift the energy. So when I put out prayers, it was like prayers of awakening and prayers of balance, and that, you know, my friends in the UK, they're sending over that water over here, and we're going to send some nice warm rain over there or warm sunshine over there to them. So, let's see. So in the summertime, people, I was going to get onto vitamin D, because, a lot of people have been asking about vitamin D, and we have this, a whole set of lies that's been put out by whatever the powers that want to be, I call them. and one of them is vitamin D. And so there, in the past, there has been a lot of fear and a lot of you know, stuff talk about how vitamin D and vitamin A are toxic and you shouldn't take too much. You know, be careful not to take too much. And, you know, lo and behold, and there was also the whole fear thing around the sunshine. And don't go out into the sun because it's bad for your skin. It causes sun cancer. And so now we know that vitamin D comes from the sun. And there's been a lot of sort of confusion and sort of misinformation being put out there. And so about vitamin D and the properties and what it does. So there's three fat soluble vitamins, okay? And they're vitamin D, vitamin A, and vitamin K, okay? So vitamin A and vitamin K, you hardly ever hear anything about them, only that, you know, vitamin A can be toxic and don't be careful and all this. And now people are getting, you know, advised by doctors to take lots of supplements of vitamin D. And actually, vitamin D supplements can be very, very dangerous. What I wanted to talk to you about today is the importance of all three of those fat-soluble vitamins, okay? And those fat-soluble vitamins are in fat, okay? And unfortunately, we have a lot of information coming out from the sort of vegan and vegetarian communities to be on, you know, plant diet, all plant and fruits diets. And there's very little fat in these diets. And so people are having huge problems with their eyes, with their skin, and all different kinds of diseases that are coming from this deficiency of vitamin D and vitamin A and vitamin K. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that today because it's really, really important. I'm just hearing more and more people having problems with their eyes. Younger and younger people are going blind. And part of it is due to too much time staring into a computer and the LED lights there, the LED lights in the house. So my recommendation on that is to get that Efflux or there's an iris. What is it called? I have it on my computer. It's a program you can download. I think Iris, it costs like $12 or something. And it's really good because it helps to warm the color of your screen, and that's going to really help your eyes. But I'll talk more about that on another show because I want to really focus on get the vitamin A and vitamin D done because it's really, really important. So this whole trend of supplementing and testing for vitamin D levels and stuff, it's really, in my opinion, it's totally bogus. Like, I don't recommend people to get tested for almost anything. because it's this false, it's like this whole plandemic, this scamdemic. It's another form of the scamdemic, you know, the vitamin D. Okay. If you have vitamin D without vitamin A, you are going to be in deep doo-doo. It's really not good. So the vitamin D2, which you get from supplements, is from vegetables. Okay. And the vitamin D that your body can use and that's healthy is either from the sun or from animal fats, from animal products. Okay. The UVB light in the sunshine, and normally people who you have to be out in the sun during the daytime, like the middle of the day, just be really smart about it. Don't get burned. But don't wash it off right away. You need to wait. Oops, let me turn my phone off. Oh shoot. Okay. If somebody could just tell me that you can still hear me, because sometimes when somebody calls me, it kicks the computer off. Okay. So, anyway, I'm just putting that in the chat because I want to know if people can still hear me. Okay. Let's see. Well, I guess it's still working because I'm able to put stuff into the chat. Okay. Thank you, Eagle Flower. Yeah. So, mushrooms is another form of one form of vegetables that vitamin D can be put in that's usable. But the only other form of vitamin D that's really usable for the body is animal fat, animal foods that are pastured, right? That are out in the sunlight absorbing the vitamin D. So you can't, like people say egg yolks, but you can't depend on eggs from places where the chickens are inside. They have to be outside in the sunshine because they're absorbing that vitamin D and transferring it into their eggs, right? So the way that you can consume in your diet, I really like getting nourishment from food. And I've been practicing for Chinese medicine for over 20 years, and this is what we learned in Chinese medical school, is the best kinds of medicine is in the food. So eggs that are pastured from pastured animals. So if you have backyard chickens, that's great. Let's see. And then full fat, raw, buttered, butter and milk, dairy products that are pastured, right? They're out on pasture. Soy free is the best because soy, as probably a lot of you already know, but soy is like I grew up in the 70s and we got 70s and 80s and we just got totally inundated with this false information about soy, like how beneficial it was for you, even especially for women and breast health and breast cancer and stuff. Well, now, of course, they're figured out that soy actually causes breast cancer. It's very unhealthy for women's hormonal problems. But and so one of the problems is that animals are being fed soy. So animals like chickens, and a lot of people eat eggs, and soy meal has been put into cattle's feed and stuff like that. So the soy, the estrogens and stuff tend to, pool up in the eggs, which is the that's the female, right, reproductive part of the chicken. And so it can be laden with tons of estrogen. So especially, anybody needs to be careful to, if you can find eggs that are produced, they're pastured, they're outside, and their feed is soy-free is really important because it's just another one of the little wrenches that they've thrown in to our diets that can contribute to the whole, estrogen imbalance in people, especially boys. So getting breasts at a young age and girls having their periods really early is due to, in part, could be due to too much estrogen in their diets. And pretty much all processed foods have soy in it. And if it doesn't say organic, it's 97% that it's probably got GMO corn soy in it. So anyway, my raw milk is probably sufficient for me. Yeah, so raw milk can be sufficient for vitamin D. Yeah, raw whole fat get lots of sunshine. That's good. And then if you wanted to add the fat too, like cream, if you can get cream from them, you know, it's interesting because that whole low fat thing, people trying to lose weight by not eating fat. Well, in farming communities, farmers, they always had, you know, if they have dairy animals, they would take the fat off to make cream and ice cream and things like that and butter. And then they would feed the low fat milk. And they still do this to the pigs to fatten them up with the low fat milk. So that's an interesting, you know, thing, because I still know people who are, you know, trying to do low fat to lose weight, and they never lose weight ever. So vitamin D without vitamin A is something that's like a real huge problem. Okay. They balance each other out, and they're necessary. All three of those vitamins, A, D, and K. So, too much vitamin D without vitamin A, contributes to night vision, to poor eyesight, dry eyes, those little fatty bumps that get on your skin, like people's usually a lot of times in their upper arms, like right around the skin, the hair follicles. That's called keratinized bumps. And a lot of respiratory infections from lack of vitamin A. So there is a way huge, you know, talk about pandemics. Like there's a pandemic of vitamin A deficiency going on in the United States for sure, probably the world. And that is exacerbated by high amounts of vitamin D without the vitamin A. It's going to make these problems of the eyesight way, way worse. And, you know, I'm hearing every single day about people going blind. We never used to hear that, you know. Used to be from accidents or chemical burns or something, you know, but it's just people are going blind. And it's this combination. Too much computers and not enough vitamin A. Too much vitamin D, too much, let's see. I have a list here that I wrote. Where did I put that? Okay, so things like protein powders. That's going to contribute to all this toxic amount of vitamin. Let's see. It's like it will contribute to vitamin A deficiency, because protein needs the fat to be digested. If you don't have the fat and you don't have it from animals that are outside, you're going to get these deficiencies, even though you think you might be eating. So that's the problem with the paleo diet and the keto diet. People aren't really looking at the details of those diets and why it's, and, you know, how to eat those foods. If you eat a really high protein diet from animals that are like grown inside in Quonset huts or with soy, you know, grain fed and all this stuff, it's not going to help. You're not going to get the benefits of these diets. Actually, you know, they do have good things about them. But if you're looking for the real deal, I would look into traditional foods, into the Weston A. Price diet, which focuses on organic, if possible, outdoors, soy-free, you know, animals that are just sort of living in a natural environment. So, where is that list? Well, it looks like, where are we? 11:53. We're going to got a few more minutes here. Let's see. Okay. So vitamin D, vitamin A, and vitamin K can all be found in cod liver oil. Okay. So non-processed cod liver oil. There's a couple of types out there. I'm going to just write them in there. VOLPI, I think, is one. And then blue ice. CLO is cod liver oil. Okay. So Intermittent fasting is really good. Yeah, ConchGirl55 is talking about that in the chat. That's what I do, especially in the summertime. I try to eat, you know, at least 2 or 3 hours before going to bed. And then I don't eat until about 10 o'clock the next day. And it's just a natural thing that I've always done. And if I try to eat too early in the summertime, it doesn't feel good. But I think that's just it feels natural way of doing stuff is to do that intermittent fasting. So what happened? Yeah. Okay. So I guess I got a couple of minutes until the break here. So vitamin D2 is like people who live in the more northern climates, northern areas on the globe, they're probably going to need more sun exposure. People who are dark skinned and they live up in northern hemispheres, they need even more. They need like 2 or 3 times the amount of sun exposure to get the vitamin D from the sun than like white people would. So that's a really important thing for dark colored people living in the northern hemispheres. Okay, so Pat Rabbit is telling me that we're going to have a break here pretty soon, and we should hear the music coming on in about a minute or so. So, then we're going to go through the foods and stuff that have vitamin A in it that are really, really important, and they're really easy to come by, okay? And the reasons why it's important to do that, to get your vitamins from food, because the body basically, and then the bodies of our ancestors for thousands of years are designed to absorb vitamins in their natural forms from nature. And too much of this really condensed vitamins, like Chinese medicine, we don't like giving vitamins pretty much because they're too yang, they're too concentrated. It's really hard for the body to deal with these kinds of supplements that are put out there that are really, really concentrated. So there's the music, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll see you on the other side of this break, okay? Go get a cup of tea or a glass of water, move around. See you in a bit.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, I am unmuted now. Getting used to this system here. This is Yolene Thule after the break on Revolution Radio, Bridges Well, Healing with the Elements of Life. And just a reminder that this is a listener-supported radio, completely listener-supported. So if you can, give a donation. There's a donation site here up above in the chat room. And there's a store. So you're welcome to... look at the store, see if there's anything you'd like, or make a donation if you can. That'd be great. We really appreciate it. Thank you. So I was talking about the fat-soluble vitamins. This is something that's not been given a lot of attention by mainstream medical people, and even people who are in like so-called naturopathic medicine. It's something that has not been looked at, and it really needs to be carefully taken into consideration, like big time. So I just wanted to read a little something about vitamin A, because we were talking about how it's really hard to get from really hard to get from vegetables. So it's important to understand the difference between carotenoids, because that's what a lot of people see as vitamin A, and retinol. So retinol, R-E-T-I-N-O-L, is the true, it's a physiologically essential and true vitamin A. It's the stuff that you get in supplements, the carotenoids, is not true vitamin A. It's really, really hard to digest it. Okay, so retinol, which is the true vitamin A, only occurs in animal foods in the form of retinol esters, which means the retinol molecule is joined to a fatty acid. So there's very little fat in plants, right? Colorful plant foods are full of a variety of carotenoids, many of which can be precursors to vitamin A. Beta carotene is the most important of these, but it must be enzymatically split down the middle to yield a true vitamin A. It may seem like you would get two molecules of retinol from one molecule of beta carotene, which a lot of people claim in there. I'm just putting my two cents in there for supplements. But let's see. Due to the limited absorption from the diet and the insufficiency of this conversion, so it's really hard for the body to convert that beta carotene into real vitamin A. Carotenes split first to yield retinol and then are converted into either retinol or retinoic acid, depending on the needs of the body. The retinic acid is the one that has the most effect at the cellular level through its actions on our genes. Retinol is the form of vitamin A that functions in our vision. It's hard to believe that university classes in nutrition still teach us that we can get vitamin A by eating lots of carrots and colorful fruits and vegetables. I've had clients tell me that they eat plenty of carrots so that they are getting all the vitamin A that they need. The truth is, you'd be really lucky to get a meaningful amount of vitamin A out of raw carrots. It is very hard for the intestines to extract vitamin A from the plant matrix. And on top of that, you'd need to be a really good carotenoid converter, which, in my opinion, and my aside, is that most people are not very good converters of carotenoid into real vitamin A because there's gut dysbiosis. So many people have gut problems that, you know, their guts pretty much can't do anything these days. That's why people are so sick. It's even harder to get vitamin A from green vegetables. Dr. Alfred Sommer, one of the internationally renowned scholars on vitamin A, says in studies where people eat green leafy vegetables for a few months, vitamin A levels don't even budge. So it's a total lie that you're going to get your enough vitamin A from vegetables. You don't depend on green leafy vegetables, even if you think you're a good carotenoid converter. Not only is converting carotenoids to vitamin A difficult, it is also difficult to extract the carotenoids from the vegetables that are raw. So these people on raw foods diets, you know, they're not really getting what they need. Anyway, it is easier to extract them from cooked vegetables and easier to make the conversion if you put butter or cream on it or other traditional fats onto these cooked vegetables. A good source of vitamin A is unrefined palm oil, the orange palm oil where the carotenoids are in the fat. So that fat is really, really important to put on your vegetables. Otherwise, you're not going to really absorb stuff from them. Low-protein diets, low-fat diets, high-fiber diets, and diets high in raw plant foods all make this conversion of vitamin A difficult. So, gut dysbiosis inhibits the conversion. So I was going to read, there's this section here. So I'm reading out of the Weston A. Price journal. It's called Wise Traditions. This is from spring of 2020. And it's an article about vitamin A, the amazing vitamin A, Pam Schoenfeld. So there's a section here that says how to satisfy your requirements for vitamin A. Does your diet contain at least one of these? First one would be a weekly serving of liver. So that liver, you want it to be from animals that are pastured and in the sun, right? To have that vitamin A and D in there. So vitamin A, also daily consumption of cod liver oil. And in my opinion, the cod liver oil needs to be with some kind of a raw dairy product, like raw milk. It's going to, because they figured out that the vitamin K is that third fat-soluble vitamin, and that's available in the fat from raw milk. Okay, so daily consumption of cod liver oil, very important. Doctors used to prescribe that for flu prevention, and now they don't even know what it is. So vitamin supplement containing the retinol form of vitamin A. So vitamin A, if you're going to take it, you want to use the retinol and not the beta carotene, which is mostly what you get in vitamin A supplements. And then 2 to 3 servings of dairy a day, and 2 to 4 egg yolks, and servings daily of orange, red vegetables or fruits. But that, again, has to be with some fat in there, some butter or cream, right? And so here's the factors that increase vitamin A requirements. So this would, anybody who's got any of these going on. So lots of lean protein, so low-fat protein, chicken breast without the skin, just really lean meat, which we have been told forever, right, that we should only be eating lean meat, that we shouldn't eat the fat of the pork or the beef and stuff like that. But that is a huge contributor to vitamin A deficiency, which is leading to lots of different problems with skin and eyes. So protein powders is including in that, right? So many people are taking protein powders and they don't know it, but they are, that is contributing to bad eyesight, you know, and through that vitamin A deficiency. So we really are down on protein powders. I don't believe in them at all. Just throw them away. Vitamin D supplements also increase vitamin A requirements. So if you're not taking the vitamin A with your vitamin D, then you're damaging your eyes. You know, you're damaging your skin. If you have eye problems and skin problems and you're on vitamin D supplements, it's a really good idea to either start taking vitamin A supplements or switch over. I have people just, you know, basically use up all their vitamins that they have in their cupboard or that they're taking, and sometimes I'll even say, don't even use those. Don't even put them in your compost pile. You'll be poisoning your worms. Just throw them away, you know, or give them to your enemy. No, just kidding. So vitamin D supplements, you need to take vitamin A with it if you're going to do supplemental form. And that's the vitamin A with the retinol, not the, beta carotene. Polyunsaturated vegetable oils. So that means any kind of vegetable oil, canola oil, even cooking with, you don't want to cook with olive oil, okay? Because that makes it toxic. It's carcinogenic if you cook with olive oil. But vegetable oils would be like sunflower oil, safflower oil, cottonseed oil, corn oil, canola oil. Any of those kind of oils that come from vegetables are polyunsaturated and they're very toxic. That's going to increase your need for vitamin A. So, vitamin A is like a detoxer, and so is vitamin D, and it helps if you're eating these things like these rancid and toxic oils, it's going to use up any vitamin A that you have in your body to help protect your eyes by breaking down those oils. So then there's not enough vitamin A for your eyes. So it's just kind of this loop, and it's just, I like to help people to unravel these lies and unravel, the actual truths here so that we can get back to some semblance of health in our lives. Anyway, so to continue on with that, factors that increase vitamin A requirements, lots of high fiber foods or fiber supplements. So what that is people who have constipation and they're taking, which is like a lot of people, and most people, this is what they recommend, doctors and stuff, is to take fiber, like Metamucil and it's not coming to my head right now, but even flax and stuff, different, but there's other stuff, darn it, I can't remember. Basically fiber to help you go to the bathroom, right? That is going to increase, it takes vitamin A to break that stuff down. And it absorbs vitamin A, that's any vitamin A that's in your body, and it pulls it out when you go to the bathroom. So that is contributing to bad eyesight and skin problems and a host of other things like dental problems, big time. High amounts of beta carotene, especially from supplements. So yeah, you want to switch, if you're going to do supplements, switch to the retinol, supplement. Okay. Rather than the beta carotene. And then the last thing on this list is steroids. So any kind of steroids, cortisones on a long-term basis is going to deplete your body of vitamin A, causing eye problems, major eye problem, night vision, dry eyes, blindness, skin problems, eczema, psoriasis, acne, you know, all of that is linked to vitamin A and vitamin D imbalances. Okay. So really, really important. So for me in my practice, what I do is I just make it simple and I have people take cod liver oil, you know, and then I work on them slowly to try to get those bad oils out of their diets. So, sometimes I've even, if people want me to, I'll go into their homes with them and bring boxes and we'll look at all of their food that they have in the pantry and look at the ingredients and okay, here's canola oil, here's cottonseed oil, here's this, here's that. And a lot of crackers, cereals, crisps and things, cookies. They all have those kind of bad oils in them and they're very, very toxic. And there's so many things that we could be eating that taste really delicious and cook, they're good for you. So yeah, Gina's saying, what kind of oil should we cook with? Your mom cooked with lard and that's exactly what we should be cooking with. Not grapeseed oil, actually, because that's a vegetable. It's a vegetable oil. It is not designed to be heated up. You could use the grapeseed oil for like salad dressings and stuff, or even making mayonnaise out of it. Because there is this talk online. I'm going to write it in here. Am I in the chat room? So there's this talk online. It's a 2-hour talk. It's called The Oiling of America. It's by Sally Fallon. She's the head of the Weston A. Price Foundation. That's an amazing talk. Maybe at some point I will try to find a 2-hour slot in the schedule here and see if I can air that talk. It is fascinating. And so, yeah, Gina P. is talking about her mom cooked with lard. That's exactly what we should be doing. Animal fats are very stable. So you can go into the molecular explanation of that. And what I understand of it is that when the molecules stack up, what it means to be stable is almost as if you were stacking up blocks. So, but on a molecular level, they stack up really neatly and they stay together. That's why they get hard in a cooler, you know, at room temperature, because the molecules are all stacked together. And what happens with the vegetable oils is they're not stable. They're not considered stable because the molecules are sitting at different angles and stuff, and they're not, and so they don't get hard at room temperature. That means that the molecules are sort of slipping around and they're not stacking up nice and staying stable. That's what it means by having a stable oil. And so animal fats like chicken fat, or even beef, like if you're cooking some hamburgers, you can take the fat off of that and use it to stir fry your vegetables. It's way more healthy than any kind of oils. Coconut oil is okay. It is a stable oil. But so I come from Mexico. I mean, my family's from Mexico on my dad's side. And I like to go to Mexico a lot. And whenever I go there, I eat coconuts. And I love the coconut, the fresh coconut milk. It's nothing like what you buy in the stores. It's really good. But the people who live in the areas that that coconut grows, where coconuts grow, and so I go to Colima because my son's father's from there. And so they say, like the sort of local people from there, they say that if you heat coconut up or heat up the water or the oil, that it ruins it. So that's the traditional lore of coconut oil from the people who live there. Now, scientists have gone in there and studied coconut oil, and it is very stable, and it's okay to cook with it. It doesn't, it's not bad for you. But personally, I don't like the taste of it when it gets cooked. It makes me almost want to like get sick. but it, I guess if you wanted to cook with it, if you get not the raw coconut oil, but the, it's called expeller pressed, because it's very lightly, what do they call it? Filtered or something. They process it. It's processed. But it's very light processing. That's okay. And that's might be better to cook with, because it's not, the taste is not going to get, sort of distorted through the cooking. So unsalted butter is, that's what I get too. You're talking about butter in the chat. Butter is really good to cook with, and ghee is good to cook with if you want to cook with butter and cook it at a higher temperature. Ghee will work better because it's clarified and it won't smoke. So the smoke level goes up, I guess, the burn level or the burn. Anyway, so ghee is for more like high temperature heating, and butter is for sauteing is fine. But it burns easily. So there was another question I wanted to get to there. Let's see. Solid fats are best. Yeah. Yes. Opposite of what we were taught, Eagle Feather. Yeah. Solid fats are best, and not most liquid oils. So Sally Fallon, I don't want to spoil it. You guys got to watch that or listen to that talk. It's really good. But basically her conclusion is like salads cause heart disease, because of all the oils that are in salad dressing. So even if you go to the store and you look for salad dressings that are sort of natural and, you know, whatever, they got cute pictures on them, and so they make you think like it's healthy for you. But you look at the ingredients and it's all got canola oil in it. Even if it's organic, it's still really bad for you. Ghee is from India. It's spelled G-H-E-E. And it's clarified butter. Yeah, Pat's talking about it. So I was going to say, oh, yeah, salad dressing. So one of the first things that I have people do, too, so if I go into their house and they've got any kind of salad dressings in their refrigerator, we're throwing it out because it's all got canola oil in it. Canola oil, okay, here's the deal with canola oil. Canola is also called rape seed, like R-A-P-E. So that's weird in itself. And so, but anyway, canola oil came, the canola seed, the rape seed is, they started it in growing it in Canada to, bioweapons? No, it's, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but, rape seed. So it was used for Agent Orange. Okay. Those kind of weapons. I forget what they're called. It's probably some military guy in the chat will know. But anyhow, that's Agent Orange is made with rapeseed. So then when they got rid of Agent Orange, or at least they pretend like they did, or they changed it a little bit, they had this bumper crop of rapeseeds. So my feeling, this is my hypothesis on why they changed it to canola, because this came out in like the 80s, right, or maybe even the late 70s. They changed it to canola because it rhymes with granola. And you had all these granola hippies, you know, sort of like, you know, these so-called health food nuts. So they targeted the health food population, telling you that canola oil was good for your heart. It's healthier than butter and all this stuff. And so, you know, this was a way that this population of people were targeted. Now it's everywhere and everybody's targeted, but they started off. So canola oil actually, it degrades the optic nerve. And that's one of the really toxic things that it does to you. And I remember, you know, I started eating it, and I've always had really, really good eyes my whole life, really good eyes. And so I started cooking with canola oil. And for one thing, it smells disgusting. But especially if you get cheap stuff, the more expensive stuff is more highly filtered, and so it doesn't smell so bad. But anyway, my eyes started going bad, and my son's eyes started going bad. He was little. He was like, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 or 7, I guess, 8. And so I had heard that it degrades the optic nerve, and so I stopped using it, and both of our eyes got better. So, and it might have had to do with the way that it affects the vitamin A in your body. So that's, yeah, so about oils is really, really important to switch over to healthy oil, healthy fats, not oils, but fats, which, you know, is what we were taught, that fat is bad, but it's not true. So chicken fat, really good. So what I usually do is just have little jars in my refrigerator and I label them chicken fat or, you know, or I have a little thing, one of those old fashioned sort of bacon dripping little jars that your mom used to have with a glass top on it, those little rectangle red things. So I put my bacon fat in there and like chicken fat is really good for fried potatoes. It's really good with chicken fat. And you could just, it actually makes food taste better, way better. You know, my dad's from Mexico. And so, you know, I'd tell people, you know, no self-respecting Mexican would refry their beans in anything but lard because it tastes way better. And usually if you go to a Mexican restaurant, like when I travel, I'm always asking people, what kind of oils do you use? And, a lot of people are still using lard. In fact, Mexico is one of the last cultures to still use a lot of lard in their cooking. And they are getting targeted, like bombarded with billions of dollars of advertising for them to switch over to vegetable oils. Like it's a huge market because they're really trying to get them away from the animal fats. But, you know, a lot of people still, they know because when I go down there, I'll ask like, what kind of oil are you using to fry your tortillas? And people, they get all happy and they're like, oh, we're using vegetable oil. And they hold up this big bottle of freaking, you know, who knows what, but this disgusting vegetable oil. And I go, okay, I'm going to go find somebody else who's still using lard. But, there are people, you know, vendors of street food that, you know, they know, nope, we're just using lard. So that's who I buy my food from when I go eat street food. Or, you know, and I try to ask, and when I was in Ireland last year, I asked around, and people in Ireland and Scotland are still using what they call drippings. So it's animal fat to make their French fries and fish and chips and stuff. But pretty much here in the United States, when you go out to eat, they're using toxic vegetable oils to fry the foods in. And so when it gets fried, you know, they use the same oil over and over and over again, and it gets really, really, really toxic from that. And it's just very, very dangerous. So, you know, cooking at home is probably the best. And, you know, you're going to save money because it's actually very expensive to eat out, even junk food. And then if you factor in how it makes you feel and that you are going to get sick from it, then it's, you know, it's even cheaper to eat at home. Herbivores can't process fat, so they got lots of cholesterol. Yep, that's right. So my theory on that about cholesterol, so cholesterol is actually really important. Every single cell in your body, is covered in a sheath of cholesterol. I mean, that's basically the cell wall is made up of cholesterol. So if you can imagine that people are taking cholesterol lowering medications, they're eating low fat diets and eating these crap oils, and every single cell wall in their body is getting depleted. And just imagine, what kind of weapon is that? You know, I mean, on the cell level, this is like so insidious. You know, I mean, Sally Fallon in her talk, I was really surprised that she even said this because she's so sort of like very prim and proper looking. And she, but she's amazing. She is a warrior, that woman. She's like my guru. But she's like, I don't know why this is allowed to happen, you know, aside from genocide. Because it's going to the cellular level of each and every one of us with these lies and these toxic things. So, You know, it's really my pleasure and my honor to be able to hang out with you guys and talk about this stuff, you know. I just wanted to read this little section here on that about children, because kids are way more susceptible to all this, as we know, partly because when we grew up, maybe we did eat real butter and we did eat real fats, ate bacon and things. But the kids these days, I mean, it's sad. Anyway, so in the United Kingdom, a teenager went blind recently, possibly from what could have been a serious vitamin A deficiency. All he ate was processed foods. Processed foods are poor sources of vitamin A unless they are enriched, and most are not. Fried foods are full of damaged polyunsaturated oils that cause you to need more vitamin A. It is a tragedy, but a very predictable tragedy. In the U.S., conventional milk is fortified with vitamin A that so often supplies enough to prevent frank decisiveness in children. I wonder what she means by that. I guess that it probably affects their brains. Let me see here. So, I worry about children who are not given milk. Children who consume raw, pastured dairy products rich in butterfat, along with a serving of liver weekly or cod liver oil daily, will get their vitamin A naturally. So that's what I recommend for people, getting it naturally. So go out and find your farmers. Find your local farmers. Find someone who's selling raw milk. It's so important. Even if you did that one thing, it would be amazing. Raw milk is delicious. Oh, my God. In fact, during World War II, the government of the United Kingdom had a program to make sure all of the children got their daily cod liver oil. And this continued for 2 or 3 years after the war. I read an old report by a medical doctor who treated Civil War soldiers on the Confederate side. Due to a lack of food, they had very nutrient-deficient diets. Many of them were night blind, and they also had an intolerance to daylight as their night blindness got worse. The doctor noticed that they had persistently dilated pupils, which explains the photophobia. If your pupils can't contract, then the daylight can be very painful. This would be, this could be another sign of possible vitamin A deficiency to look for. So we talked about the skin and stuff too. Let me see here. Where's the other thing? I was going to read another part of this here. Let's see what's in there. My mother gave us cod liver oil. That's really good, Gina. People who like that, I didn't get cod liver oil when I was little. But the people that I've known who have gotten cod liver oil when they were little, their constitution is way better. So in my practice as an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and I work a lot with diet, if I could have one thing that I could have my patients on, like throw everything else in my office away and just have them on one thing, it would be the cod liver oil. So, it's really, really important. Let's see. And you want to get good quality. I like the blue ice fermented cod liver oil. It's made in a traditional way. There was a big scandal about them a few years ago, but it was completely blown out of the water. It was not real. Those people were trying to start another company, and they sort of blasted that company, the Blue Ice cod liver oil. But they pretty much dispelled any of the lies that were put out there about them. So that's the kind that I use because it's the most affordable, and a lot of people like to take the capsules because the liquid, you know, is kind of, I take the liquid because it's cheaper and I'm cheap. but I like to take the liquid since I eat raw dairy products pretty much every day. I'm getting my vitamin K from that. And then, but a lot, most people are not eating raw dairy products. So I have them get this product that's a, it's mixed with, it's called high vitamin butter fat, and it's from cows in New Zealand that have been pastured. They're out in the sunshine and they're eating green grass. So they take that actually, they call it high vitamin butter oil. That in Weston A. Price's book, that's one of the things that he found in a lot of traditional cultures, was that the fat from the milk from the animals that were out eating grass in the springtime, like the first spring green grass, had a lot of nourishment in it. And so the fat, they would take that fat and put it on their altars because it was considered sacred food. It had so much nourishment in it. And they always made sure that the girls and boys, childbearing years, ate these fats, like a lot of it, because it made them stronger. It made their blood stronger and all their organs stronger. And they knew about this without scientific, you know, studies and this and that. But this was just the traditions of these people that Weston A. Price went out and studied, was making sure that all people, but especially people who were childbearing years, ate lots of really healthy fats. So it's pretty interesting because of you look at the infertility rates these days. So I've got a lot of people coming into me, these younger women, and they're getting younger and younger. It used to be like women in their 40s, you know, they'd come in and, oh, I want to have a baby, you know, and I'm, so, you know, try to help them get pregnant with food and acupuncture and herbs. And nowadays I'm getting women in their early 30s having a hard time getting pregnant. And, you know, it's just, it's just an onslaught of craziness, weapons, lifestyle weapons of cell phones. Like, you know, I had this girl come in the other day and she owned two smartphones. Like, dude, she carried it on herself and a Fitbit. And, you know, probably didn't eat any of these foods. And so I'm just like, oh my God, I need to retire soon. It's so sad. I mean, it's really hard. But, you know, I had her get on the cod liver oil first thing. Very first thing, get on the cod liver oil. So raw milk. What does pet quality? Oh, yeah. So you guys are talking about raw milk. Yep. Pet quality means that, yeah. So Conch Girl's talking about it. You can go to the farmer and tell them, I want some milk for my pets. And they kind of know. That's their code word for, okay, it's illegal here to buy raw milk, but can I get some? And then, you know, you can give them to your pets too. You know, you're not supposed to give pets pasteurized milk either. Like milk, you know, they say, oh, don't give your cats milk because it'll make them sick. Well, pasteurized milk makes them sick because what happens with the pasteurization is that they boil it, right? They boil the milk. And by doing that, they break down, they kill the beneficial bacteria and the enzymes that are naturally in the milk to help your body break down the milk. It's supposed to be there. It's there for a reason. And that's why a lot of people have what they call milk intolerance, or some people think it's allergies to milk, but it's really intolerance because it doesn't have the natural probiotics and the natural bacteria and who knows, viruses and worms and all these things in there that are natural that help you break down the milk. Okay. So, so the reason why they started pasteurizing, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'll just tell you this little story about it. So probably other places, but as the world started to get more sort of like factorized, or if that's a word, you know, more industrial, the dairies got bigger and bigger, and then they started having these huge dairies with hundreds of cows, And so one of the main stories that I know about is from New York City. They had these big dairies, and they were nearby these places where they made whiskey, like distilleries, right? And so they made the whiskey out of, I don't know what, maybe hard alcohol. They make it out of grain like corn and barley and whatever, rye and stuff. So they had all this fermented slop of grains, and they were like, hey, give it to me. I'll feed it to my cows. And so they started feeding the cows in these big, huge dairies that this slop from the distilleries. And then they had the dairy cows all in confinement, kind of like in really small area, like lots and lots of cows. And they were up to their udders in their own feces in this slop that they were getting fed, which is not their natural diet. Cows are ruminants. They eat grass. They don't naturally eat. They probably eat the grain on the grass, maybe if they, you know, was in the field, but mostly they eat grass. So that's why you see this stuff about grass-fed, because that just means that they're on their natural diet, not forest-fed grains. And so you heard the story about Typhoid Mary and all that. So that really did happen, where people started getting typhoid. They started getting really sick from the really disgusting way that dairies were being managed or mismanaged. And so they pretty much had to start pasteurizing, boiling the milk so that they could kill the, the toxic amounts of bad bacteria. I'll just use the terms good and bad, but none of it's really bad. But if certain bacteria are out of, just in our guts, and probably I know people are getting onto this and other talks and stuff, but our guts are filled with all different kinds of bacteria and virus and worms and all this stuff. And it's all normal. It's good for us. And I'm really glad that other people are starting to talk about this, because I don't have to keep talking about it so much. But the problem is that with the high amounts of like processed foods and sugars and things like that people are eating, it's feeding the certain ones that aren't beneficial for us. And so they proliferate and they get out of control. So then when you start eating foods that naturally have beneficial bacteria that have been killed, so like milk, even yogurt made out of killed milk, I call it killed milk, it really doesn't have anything beneficial in it. So if you're buying yogurt from the store, they're probably adding acidophilus and bifidus maybe to it or something, but it's not like if you make yogurt out of raw milk, it's way, way different. That you're getting the real deal when you make it with raw milk, because it's going to be proliferating the beneficial bacteria that our bodies are used to using, they habitat our bodies in a good way. So silver dollars and milk helps. Okay. Worms aren't good. Yeah. Worms aren't good in out of balance, but actually everybody has them. Everybody has all this stuff, viruses, worms. We think, oh, gross. Oh, yuck. But it's only when the biome, the environment in the gut gets way out of balance that the things that we don't like nobody wants to have worms, but probably everybody has them, and they're there for a reason. And they stay out of the way and they kind of do their job, like helping detox your body is what a lot of people are thinking, that these things that we think we don't like worms, they actually get attracted to like toxic metals and different kinds of toxins that are in your gut, which everybody has, because we're walking outside and breathing, the air. Even if you ate a pristine diet, you're still going to have toxins in you. So the worms, especially, people are thinking that they are responsible for breaking down toxins in your body, which are like way out of balance. Like we're just getting more and more toxins than people did even 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago or 100 years ago, So the more we can eat foods that include beneficial bacteria, and I'm saying food, you know, sometimes I do recommend supplements of certain probiotics because a lot of people need it. I still take it sometimes, but I try to get people into eating their medicine, okay, because it's just way more effective. And we get into good practices. And then people come over to our house and we give them a smoothie made out of freaking raw milk, yogurt, or kefir. It's like they just freak out. They're like, what is this? How did you make this taste so good? And I'm like, well, it's just from raw milk. So what about killing good bacteria? The whole purpose for raw milk and dairy products, live bacteria. Yeah. No, you don't want to have tapeworms, really. That's probably true. I don't think we all have tapeworms. I'm pretty sure we don't. But things like pinworms, I've heard, you know, there was this one woman that was writing a book, and I don't know what ever happened, if she ever got anything out of her research, but she was looking at different kinds of parasites and how, which parasites are like got out of balance or showed themselves in an out of balance way. And what that person had wrong with them, or like maybe somebody had like lead toxicity. And so a certain kind of worm moved in that was attracted to lead and that helped them to break down that lead in their body. And then somebody else had like aluminum or something, you know, and there's another bacteria or another virus or worm or something that gets attracted to that. And so these things are actually helping us out. And so when people get these out of balance, these worms, okay, maybe get tapeworms, well, there's a reason why you got it. And so if you go in and take toxic chemicals to kill them, they're probably going to come back, or you're going to get sick in another way because you have not dealt with the why you got those, why those worms got attracted to you. Because a person with a really balanced body and a balanced biome, a gut, is not going to have these things get out of. In fact, okay, so there's a story, this one family that I had, well, one of the kids had worms for like, and the mom, for years. They could not get rid of them. And these two people had the worst guts in the whole family. They had the most digestive problems, really severe nausea, and just lots of gut problems. So they tried to take medicines and they did all this stuff, a lot of herbs. They tried it for years. And then they came in to see me and I worked on their gut health with them. And I said, okay, no more trying to kill the worms. Okay, let's just leave them there for a while. They were pinworms. And so so we started doing the raw, well, actually we started doing the GAPS diet, gut and psychology, G-A-P-S. G-A-P-S diet. I'm putting that in the chat room. And so the GAPS diet, it starts off with a lot of bone broth, okay? Bone broth, bone broth, bone broth, every day. Actually, that's the whole diet, is you have to have bone broth a lot. So that, the collagen and the gelatin in the bone broth is very, very healing to the tissue of the gut line, any kind of lining of your whole inner side of your body. Anything, bone broth. And I'll talk more about that for other stuff too. Maybe we'll just do a whole show on just bone broth. But so anyway, and then fermented foods. So fermented dairy products. Okay, yogurt. You start off with yogurt because yogurt is more easy to digest. Okay, and that has about 6 different kinds of probiotics, beneficial bacteria in it. And so then that's going to repopulate your gut with beneficial bacteria and live ones, not just getting supplements, because most of the supplements aren't very good anyway. But there's certain ones that are good, and I can share that with you later. But so doing the raw milk, dairy, sometimes people can't tolerate dairy, and you have to go really slow. So there's a way to do that. I'll talk about that later. But so you just basically go real, you can start with a drop a day or a half a drop. Okay, in a glass of water, just to get people used to it, because sometimes their guts are so sick that they can't handle it. And so what that happens is that the beneficial bacteria start populating the gut, And you're going to have a die-off if people are really sick and they have really bad diets and stuff. There's a lot of bacteria and a lot of parasites just filled up in the gut. And so people might go through like a flu, like a die-off kind of a situation. The feeling like having a flu, because basically it's like the bad bacteria, the bad whatever things in your gut are dying. And so they're breaking down and making you sick. But just keep going through with it. And then later on, we go to kefir. Kefir is a lot stronger than yogurt. There's probably around 300 different kinds of beneficial organisms in kefir compared to 6 in yogurt. But So, you know, I actually, I know I was talking about that family. So they just slowly, those worms just kind of went away. They didn't have to do any more killing of worms. They just, as their gut got better, they just didn't have any more worms. So maybe they're still there and they just receded back into their, you know, home where they take care of maybe a certain part of your intestines where toxins tend to pool up. They'll just sit there and deal with those toxins. So it's pretty cool. I love that, you know. And I heard that in Chernobyl, I don't know, someplace where there was like this huge toxic mess that happened. It could have been radiation even. Maybe it was Chernobyl. Anyhow, so they did this experiment where they brought red worms, like those composting worms that are in your compost pile, the red ones. And they inoculated the soil somewhere where it was like really toxic, and they dumped them there. And then they came back years later just to check on it because, you know, nobody really lives in or hadn't been living in Chernobyl for a long time. So they came back and those red worms had turned white. I mean, they were still there, and there was no radiation in the area where those red worms were, but they had turned white. It was like they transmuted the radiation into its broke it down to its non, like the inert, harmless elements, right? The compound that makes up radiation, they just unlocked the bonds that made it radioactive, and then it was not radioactive, but these worms turned white in the process. Pretty fascinating. You know, I just have so much faith that there is a way to heal from so much stuff that we're having to go through now. And so really glad to have a little platform that we can be talking. It's nice to see people in the chat room talking about stuff. Where's my glasses? I'm going to read some of this. I think we're going to be done here pretty soon. It's 12:53 my time, so I think we have a few more minutes. There's this article in this magazine. I'll see if I can find it. Well, basically, they were talking about how the demand for raw milk is actually rising right now, and a lot of dairy decline. Here it is. Borden Dairy Company filed for bankruptcy protection in the new year, the second major U.S. dairy company to fold in recent months. Borden produced nearly 500 million gallons of milk yearly for grocery stores, schools, and institutions. It employs 3,300 people and runs 12 plants across the U.S. The trend for big competitors like Walmart to produce and process milk for their stores and sells it at a loss. Meanwhile, more and more traditional dairy farms are failing. Over 2,700 have gone out of business in the last 18 months alone. Commentators blame the pressure on the U.S. dairy industry on a shift in American eating habits. People are drinking more juice, soda, and milk substitutes, which is really bad. I'll talk about that sometime. Don't buy that stuff, the almond milk and all that. And eating less breakfast cereal, which is a good thing. Resulting in a decline of 40% in milk consumptions in 1975. But the real reason is growing intolerance to processed milk. The industry does not want to admit that they're ultra pasteurized. So ultra pasteurized is even worse. It's really, really bad. And the weird thing is they ultra pasteurize all of the organic milk. Like why are they doing that? Why don't they ultra pasteurize everything? But no, just the organic milks. They always ultra pasteurize it now. So it makes people sick. And that the demand for real milk, pasture fed, full fat and unprocessed is growing. So if you guys, my homework for you guys this week is to go out and find a farmer who's selling some raw milk. If you want to go to the Weston A. Price Foundation, I'm going to just put it in the chat room, WAPF dot, I don't know if it's com or org. I'm going to put that in the chat room. So if you're interested, you can go to that website, the Weston A. Price Foundation, and they have in there, they have a tab where you can find chapter leaders. And I'm the chapter leader in my area with a friend. We share the job. And basically the chapter leaders are going to have lists of people, of farmers and growers, dairy people, or maybe somebody just has like, you know, three cows in their backyard and, you know, their back pasture and they're selling a little bit. So you can call that those chapter leaders or find somebody near you, or even if you don't have one near you, find the closest one and ask about, you know, people, local farmers, because it's... I'm really totally convinced that the way through this whole crap that we're going through is our food and farms. So finding small farmers, small growers, people who have gone back to the land and are doing really good things with food, support them, you know. And if you don't have money, a lot of people need help, you know, go out there and muck out their stalls or do something like that. Anyhow, I want to just really thank you guys all for coming into the chat room and talking today and listening to my rants about food. And really nice to be here. And I guess that's the time we're going to end it up here. And I'll be back next Sunday. So if you have any questions, feel free to, you know, private chat me or something. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.